Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 27th, 2012. And before we begin with the continuation of yesterday's program, as I had Donna Crotchett in the studio along with her missionary friends Abel and Ruth, who live and serve in Thailand and serve specifically with the Black Lahu Hill Tribe people in northern Thailand, let me share a few announcements. First off, tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, Pastor Jason Schiffel will join me in the studio. Lots to update you on. But we'll be giving away a couple tickets to the story tour that's coming this Friday to the U of I Assembly Hall. These are low-level, B-level tickets, $45 each, so there'll be a call-in tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Also, the Singing Men of GNN will have two Christmas concerts this year. Actually, we're putting on three, but one is in the Danville prison. So Lord willing, none of you will be able to attend that one, unless for some reason there's some major transgressions in your life and you wind up in the Danville prison. But I trust for the most part I won't be seeing any of you there. But this Sunday, December 2nd, at the First Christian Church in Lovington, Illinois, the Singing Men of GNN will be putting on a 6 p.m. Christmas concert dressed in their tuxedos. Our director, Stephen McClary, who teaches in and around that area, is going to have some special other musicians and artists join us. So it's going to be a great concert, and the Singing Men of GNN will be debuting a number of new Christmas selections added to our repertoire. So that's at the First Christian Church in Lovington, Illinois, basically from Champaign, take I-57 south to the Arcola exit, turn right on Illinois Route 133 and go about 18 miles, and I think you'll come into Covington and then turn right on South Country Road, and the church is located at 301 South Country Road across the street from Casey's at the First Christian Church in Lovington, Illinois. And the other Christmas concert, this is our 14th or 15th year we've done this at Marketplace Mall in Champaign, Saturday, December 15th, right at noon. So don't miss that concert. It's always widely attended by many hundreds of people. It's at the food court on Saturday, December 15th. All right, we're going to jump right in where we left off yesterday, talking about what God's doing in Thailand. So here we go. Now, Abel, I just asked you to pray for our program, pray for our listeners, pray for this new broadcast, because we had you on yesterday, as already mentioned. Would you feel comfortable replicating that prayer just so our listeners, maybe we have some people from Thailand tuned in, I don't know, that would maybe be a stretch, but with the University of Illinois and international students being in our area, but for the benefit of our listeners, because what's so unique about God is God is not just the God of America or the God of the English language. God is a God that transcends all languages, all peoples. He has a heart for everyone. And you just prayed, you asked, would it be okay to pray in your own language? And I said, absolutely. How about praying for this program now again for our listeners?
Okay. Okay, let's pray. พระเจ้าโปรดนำพาโปรแกรมนี้ที่จะได้มีหลายคนได้รู้จักกับพระเจ้าและก็ได้รู้จักความรักของพระเยซูคริสต์เจ้าและขอพระเจ้าทรงโปรดนำพาโปรแกรมนี้ที่จะมีประโยชน์ต่อทุกๆคนที่จะได้มาถึงความรอดเราขอมอบทุกสิ่งในพระนามพระเยซูคริสต์เจ้าอาเมน
Now help us understand. It's like, I love different languages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go back to even the time of Genesis when God confused all the languages. Everyone spoke the same language, and because of sin and disobedience, God scattered everyone around. And from that point on, we've had many different languages. But what did you just pray for the benefit of us just understanding your heart and what you hope will happen through today's program?
You mean I pray a while ago?
Yeah, like what did you just say as you were praying?
Oh, I'm praying that...
Tell us in English.
Yeah, I pray that, you know, please help, you know, our program here. Whoever here, you know, mm-hmm. the love of God, you know, to come to know Christ, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday you got to share some of your testimony, and I was just fascinated. Here you had a grandfather who was a witch doctor. He was kind of the head of the tribe. Everyone came to him for healing or for prayer or for guidance. He was like maybe, I guess, as the witch doctor, revered and yet feared. And yet a missionary came and spoke about the love of God. And he heard that message. It went to the core of his heart. He knew, because he did witchcraft and worked with evil spirits, he knew about hate and he knew about sacrifice and people had to do things. Mm-hmm. He knew about these evil spirits that kind of required or demanded an offering. And yet he heard that there was a God that really loved him and loved people. Tell us a little more about that, because he changed radically, which then influenced your whole community.
Yeah, after that, he received Jesus Christ. One thing in the village, the witch doctor and the head man of the village is very important. So they always watch, you know, them. So after, you know, they decide something, so the whole, the villagers also follow him. So after my grandpa, he decided to accept Jesus Christ. So he told the whole, villagers that.
So he became like a pastor. So was there like a missionary teaching him this biblical truth or starting to show him the New Testament scriptures? And then did he teach the people? How did the people then get to know Jesus? Was it through him or the missionary?
Through him.
Through him.
Through him. After he heard that this good news, Jesus loved people. After that, you know, he also, you know, talked to the whole villagers. So he can call, come to his place, the whole villagers, to come and, you know, listen what he said. So this is, our people is normal. You know, when the head man or the call them, they always come to the, you know, head man house.
And then your father, at this point, how old was your father? Because his father, your grandfather, comes to Christ, so that must have influenced his family and obviously the community. So were you born at this point yet?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. This time, they are in Burma during that time. So I was born in Thailand. After that, they moved to Thailand.
Okay. Mm. And you had said in Thailand, basically, the country is made up of about 90+% Buddhists.
Yes.
But here now, you're third generation Christian. Your grandfather comes to Christ. Mm-hmm. He moves to Thailand. There's your father. He marries, and then you're born. And now you're growing up in this Christian family, this Christian environment. What was that like with so many other people outside of your community not being followers of Jesus? Was there persecution?
We don't have in Thailand, you know, we have a freedom about religion. Mm-hmm. Our government is okay, no problem. But only in the village, in the hill tribes, there's persecution. Sometimes the headman, or like I say, the headman or witch doctor in the village. But in the city, in Thailand, it's no problem about religion. So when I was young, we grew up in a Christian family. But the outside, there's a, you know, non-believer. So sometimes, you know, it's hard.
Right.
Especially when we go to school, a local school, so they always pray to Buddha in the morning. So some school, the teacher is okay. After, we told them we are Christian, so we just, you know, didn't do anything. But some school, they force you to have to do like, you know, other kids.
Sure.
We have faced that problem.
And you mentioned on yesterday's broadcast that it was around the age of 13 that it really became a personal decision that you wanted to follow Jesus, that you wanted him to be your Lord and Savior. And you've been serving him now for many years, influencing and helping build, I think, 8 churches in Thailand and this orphanage. And we're going to get Donna into the conversation in a few minutes here, because she's had a real heart for Thailand since her very first visit. But what was the point where you felt a special or a specific calling to be, if you will, a pastor or a follower of Jesus, where it was going to be something that you would devote your whole life to?
After I graduated high school, that's one night I prayed to God. And God really called me that night.
Mm-hmm.
And my tears come, you know, just down that night. So I just told God that, God, I love you, and I will, you know, going to a Bible college. So after that, I told my dad and mom, and I decided to go to Bible college.
Is that when you came to the United States?
Or? No, okay. Before that.
Because I know you attended Lincoln Christian College, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little more of that history. And I know you also were used of God to help influence Ruth some, because on yesterday's broadcast, you were sharing your faith with her, and she was the city girl, kind of educated, living in the city. You were more the country boy in the mountains. And so there was a little concern from her family and the elders that, hey, he's a country boy, you're a city-educated girl, not a good match, and yet eventually you won him all over because of your love for God and your love for Ruth. But tell us some more of your story. So you're in Thailand, you've graduated from high school,
and
you feel a calling, there's tears, God does a work in your heart, mm-hmm. You say, Lord, use me. What happened next?
So after that, I went to Bible college in Bangkok. I graduated in 1983, so I came back to my city, Chiang Mai, northern part of Thailand. So after that, in Thailand, there's a missionary, they rent a house for, we call it a hostel, for the Hill tribe children to stay there and go to school. So I became a youth minister in that hostel. And so we rent a house next to my wife, Ruth, a house. So we meet each other.
And this Bible college, was it put on or put together by missionaries? Were these Thai people leading this Bible college, or was it outside people from other countries?
I think the founder is a missionary from here. The Bible that I went in Bangkok is a Southern Baptist Bible college and seminary. So I studied there 4 years. So I graduate, I come back, and I work. Actually, I also want to continue, you know, education after that. After I graduate from that Bible college, I pray to God.
Mm.
Mark, you know, I pray every day, 9 years.
Wow.
Nine years. Finally, God opened the door for me to come and study at Lincoln Christian College, a seminary.
Here in Illinois,
yes,
in the United States. I was thinking, because you mentioned in yesterday's broadcast that the Old Testament wasn't even in your native language till about 15 or so years ago. So when you went to Bible college, you were probably schooled and trained in the New Testament and maybe learned some Old Testament, but you didn't have the scripture yet.
I learned in Thai language,
okay,
not in Lahu language. In Thai people, they have Bible many, many years ago.
Okay, but in your native tongue, your tribe in the hills didn't have the scriptures in your own language.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when you went back, you had learned it in Thai, but then you had to kind of translate and teach and help them?
Yes, I teach there, but I'm not translated. But other missionaries, they did that work.
Okay, did that work.
Uh-huh.
Now, Ruth, being married to Abel, who has a heart for the Lord and feeling this calling to serve as like a headmaster of orphanage, working with children, you had met and you had seen him share his Christian faith with you, and you had seen his love and how he was passionate about following Jesus. That started influencing your walk too, right?
Right.
What was the changes then that happened in you as you heard of this God that loved you and that cared for you?
Actually, no, even I grew up in the Buddhist family, and my heart is always like for Jesus, but I never have a chance to go to the church or anybody to, you know, ask me to go with them, because I learned a lot in school, you know. Even when my mom took me to the Buddhist temple, when she said, if you have to pray like Buddhist way, right? You know, every time I pray in the temple, Buddhist temple, I always pray like I pray in the Christian school, like in Jesus' name, you know, Amen, like that. Anything like that every time, you know. But
sure.
Yeah. Till I met Abel, you know, so it's not that hard to turn me, you know,
sure,
to...
Sure, sure. So yeah. God was already wooing you, educating you in, yeah. in biblical truth and the knowledge of Jesus. And I think there's even that Bible story, I think it's Naaman, who's cured of leprosy. He's told by Isaiah or Elijah, I can't remember, but, you know, dip into the River Jordan 9 times and your cleansing, your healing will come. And he humbles himself and does that. And then he asks Elijah, can I take some of the soil back with me? Because he, I think, was under one of the kings, Nebuchadnezzar. I can't think of one of the foreign kings. But partly because he knew he was still serving under an ungodly king. But yet, when he bowed down, they said sometimes he'd kneel on the soil from Israel, from the Holy Land. And though he was in the service of this foreign king that didn't follow Jehovah, didn't follow Almighty God, he still would, in his mind and in his heart, probably pray to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, somewhat to the same degree where, though you were in a Buddhist temple, you were still in your mind in Jesus' name or thanking God for the fact that he's the only one that can truly answer prayer. Well, Donna, we're going to jump over to you because these two, Abel and Ruth, have been influential in your walk and your growth and your development as a missionary, if you will, in the country of Thailand. And you've been there, as mentioned yesterday, 7 different times, and you're going to be going at the first part of this new year in January, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned yesterday, the first time you went, here you had this opportunity to share with young children, to teach little Bible lessons, and to just interact with them, and their smiles just worked in your heart. But you also mentioned yesterday that your life has not always been easy, which is true of all of us. We make mistakes, we find ourselves falling short of the mark that God has laid out, there's heartache when we do that. None of us are on that course where everything goes well. But share a little of your own testimony and faith journey, because I've known you for many years. You've loved following God. You've been active in the church. You are on our very first trip to Israel. I've seen you grow. I've seen you give your heart to those in Thailand. I've seen you faithfully serving in your church. But tell us a little of your story.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. But when I became a teenager, I was bulimic for like 20 years, which means I'd eat, neat, and then I'd diet or I'd throw up. So I was a very troubled young woman. Well, my freshman year in college, it started out, I was a good girl, but then everybody on my floor partied, so I went partying with them. Well, by my sophomore year, I was really tired of that. And I can remember after going out to the bars, I laid on my bed and I started crying and said, Lord, I need you. And so the next Sunday, I went across the street to the Christian campus house, and it was like God was speaking to me. And I learned for the first time that God wants our all. You don't just say, Lord, save me so I don't go to hell. He wants everything in our lives. He wants to be Lord. And I thought, that's what I need. I need that. I need to be able to give my whole life to God. And so the Tuesday after that, I went to see the pastor at the Christian campus house, and I said, I want to know Christ as Lord. And so we prayed, and for the first time, I felt the love of God. I knew he loved me, and I knew that I belonged to him. And I guess what I like about these mission trips is I see people that are really sold out to God. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sold, totally sold out. Everything has to do with God. You know, the decisions they make have to do with God. And I like being around people like that because it helps me to grow.
And you saw even this area where they serve. It's an impoverished area. They don't have the wealth or the resources. And the people that come and serve and have served with you on these many trips come with willing hearts. Mm-hmm. But you get to see that even your simple tasks, the simple gifts you bring, the resources you bring, make a huge difference. And you've had that opportunity to not only share little Bible studies, but to even preach. So you've been stretched through these many trips because you're like, God, this is not my gift area. Mm-hmm. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher.
Right.
And yet he says, Donna, you and me make a team, mm-hmm. and I'm going to work through you. So tell us some of that stretching experience, because I'm sure there are many listeners that can identify whether they've been traumatized in youth, maybe they have some eating disorders, maybe they've been violated or abused or divorced or are hurting and feel like, I'm disqualified, I can't be used of God, I'm not that skilled, you don't know my personality or disposition, I'm not one to be out in front of people teaching and sharing, but you're kind of, you can say, but wait, you can, because I have. And so share how you've kind of struggled with feeling inadequate or not feeling enabled, and yet you've seen God use you, haven't you?
Well, I always find that when I step out beyond my comfort zone, that God always meets me, and I can feel His presence more in my life, and that is so good. There's nothing else in life worth that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the things about prayers. When we relinquish control, when we say, God, it's beyond my capacity, beyond my ability, that's when He delights to say, here I am, I will use you now, you're ready. Well, I know you're going to be going to Thailand at the first part of the year, and I'm thinking on all these trips, you're kind of opening them up. I think Abel and Ruth are always open to entertaining other people coming on these trips and serving. So in our closing couple minutes, is there a phone number, a website? How can we find out more about how we can pray for Thailand, pray for Abel and Ruth, or support them financially, or support the work that's being done in these orphanages or these churches in Thailand?
Well, if anybody has any interest in Thailand, any questions, they can feel free to email me. My email address is Donna, D-O-N-N-A, dot Crotchett, C-R-O-T-C-H-E-T-T, at att.net.
Okay, and maybe if you didn't get that down or you're driving, you're like, oh, how do you spell that Crotchett, that last name or whatever, call the station and I can connect them personally with you and we can cover specific needs that maybe if you're taking school supplies or different things to Thailand, that they can supply those, or financially somebody says, I appreciate the testimony of Abel and Ruth and what they're doing in Thailand. I want to be a part of that work of God. We can work it through where a donation can be received or given to you on their behalf. And so we as a radio ministry can facilitate that and have everyone connect. But it's neat to hear how God has used your grandfather, Abel, and then your father and you to do this ministry work. You and Ruth, you're serving the people, the impoverished there in Thailand. And Donna, your many trips there and going back for your eighth time in January. Maybe there's somebody listening that suddenly something is beating them in their heart that they're feeling called to serve in a unique way. And we can get you all connected and together and to talk about that and to pray about that. And isn't it special, everyone, how God works throughout the world?
Right.
And your prayers can make an impact. So as you remember Abel and Ruth and Donna, pray them up and see how God would maybe call you to be involved, whether it's financially, through prayers, or maybe going yourself. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.